Some hours later, we are in the entrance hall of the Grand Ducal Palace. And here come the members of the theatrical company, now dressed in their Troilus and Cressida costumes. Bearing garlands and playing musical instruments, they herald the return of Ludwig and Julia from their marriage ceremony, which has just taken place.
Ducal heartstrings touches. Allow me to present your new Grand Duchess. Should she offend, you'll graciously excuse her and kindly recollect I didn't choose her. The outset I may mention, it's my sovereign intention to revive the classic memories of Athens at its best. For the company possesses all the necessary dresses, and a course of quiet cramming will supply us with the rest. We've a choir hypokinetic, that is ballet operatic, who respond to the cruelty of that cultivated age. And a clever chorus master, all but captious criticaster, would accept as the choregus of the early Attic stage. This return to classic ages is considered in their wages, which are always calculated by the day or by the week. And I'll pay them if they'll back me, all in obfuloy and drachmy, which they'll get if they preferred it at the Kale and Letter Greek. At this junction I may mention that this erudition sham is but classical pretension, the result of steady cram. Periphrastic methods burning to this audience discerning, I admit, this show of learning is the fruit of steady cram. In the period Socratic, every dining room was attic, which suggested architecture of a topsy-turvy kind. There they satisfy their thirst on a recherche called a ristron, which is what they called their lunch, and so may you if you're inclined. As they gradually got on, they trepest, I frost on poton, which is attic for a steady and a conscientious drink. But they mixed their wine with water, which I'm sure they didn't order, and we modern Saxons know a trick or two of that, I think. Then came rather risky dances under certain circumstances. circumstances which would shock that worthy gentleman, the licenser of plays, Corybantian, maniacic, Dionysiac, or Bacchic, and the dithyrambic rebels of those undecorous days. And perhaps I'd better mention, lest alarming you I am, that it isn't our intention to perform a dithyram. It displays a lot of stocking, which is always very shocking, and of course I'm only mocking at the prevalence of cram.
It displays a lot of stocking, which is always very shocking, and of course I'm only mocking at the prevalence of cram.
Yes, on reconsideration, there are customs of that nation which are not in strict accordance with the habits of our day. And when I come to codify their rules, I mean to modify, or Mrs. Grundy perhaps may have a word or two to say. For they had the mackintoshes, or umbrellas, or galoshes, and the shower with their dresses must have played the very deuce. And it must have been unpleasing when they caught the fits of sneezing, for it seems of pocket handkerchiefs they didn't know the use. They wore little underclothing, scarcely anything or nothing, and the dress of coal and silk was quite transparent in design. Well, in fact, in summer weather, something like the altogether, and it's there I rather fancy I shall have to draw the line. And again, I wish to mention that this erudition sham is but classical pretension, the result of steady cram. Yet my classic or aggressive, if you'll pardon the possessive, is exceedingly impressive when you're passing an exam.
Yet this classic or aggressive, if you'll pardon the possessive, is exceedingly impressive when you're passing an exam.
And his Julia are mated. Or when an obscure comedian, whom the law backs to sovereign rank, is promptly elevated, he takes it with its incidental drawbacks. So Julia and I are duly mated.
Him like magic. Oh,
everybody has gone and we're happily and comfortably married, I want to have a few words with my newborn husband.
Yes, I expect you'll often have a few words with your newborn husband. Well, what is it?
Why, I've been thinking that as you and I have to play our parts for life, it is most essential that we should come to a definite understanding as to how they shall be rendered. Now, I've been considering how I can make the most of the Grand Duchess.
Have you? Well, if you'll take my advice, you'll make a very fine part of it.
Why, that's quite my idea.
I shouldn't make it one of your hoity-toity vixenish viragos.
Oh, you think not?
Oh, no, I am quite clear about that. I should make her a tender, gentle, submissive, affectionate, but not too affectionate, child wife, timidly anxious to coil herself into her husband's heart, but kept in check by an awestruck reverence for his exalted intellectual qualities and his majestic personal appearance.
Oh, is that your idea of a good part?
Oh, yes. A wife who regards her husband's slightest wish as an inflexible law, and who ventures but rarely into his august presence, unless, which would happen seldom, he should summon her to appear before him. A crushed, despairing violet, whose blighted existence would culminate, all too soon, in a lonely and pathetic death scene. A fine part, my dear.
Yes, there's a good deal to be said for your view of it. Now, there are some actresses whom it would fit like a glove.
I wish I'd married one of them.
But, you see, I must consider my temperament. For instance, my temperament...
Now, Julia, come consider it from this dainty point of view. A timid, tender, feminine gender prompts to coyly coo. Yet silent, seeking, seldom speaking till she's spoken to. Oh, comfy, cozy, rosy, posy, innocent ingenue. The part you're suited to, give the deuce her due. A sweet old Jiminy, Mimini, Pimini, innocent ingenue.
I'm much obliged to you, I don't think that would do.
A sweet old Jiminy, Mimini, Pimini, innocent as a new.
You forget my special magic in a high dramatic sense. Life in situations tragic, undeniably intense. As I've justified promotion in this trionic art, I submit to you my notion of a first-rate part.
Well, let us see your notion of a first-rate part.
I have a rival. Frenzy thrilled, I find you both together. My heart stands still, with horror chilled, hard as the millstone never, and soft and sly and snaky, crawly, creepy, quaky. I track her on her homeward way as panther tracks her fated prey. I fly at her soft white throat with a lily-white laughing leman. On her agonized gaze I gloat with the glee of a dancing demon. My rival she, I have no doubt of her. So I hold on till the breath is out of her. Till the breath is out of her. And then, remorse, remorse. Oh, cold, unpleasant cough. Avaunt, avaunt, that lifeless form I gaze upon, that face still warm but weirdly wan, those eyes of glass I contemplate, and then, alas, too late, I find she is your aunt. Then mad, 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 with fancies wild, chimerical, now sorrowful, silent, sad, now hullabaloo hysterical. But whether I'm sad or whether I'm glad, mad, 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 mad! As of a hiker's heart, and satisfies my notion of a first-rate part,
and satisfies my notion of a first-rate part.
Do you know who I am?
I don't. Your countenance I can't fix, my dear.
This proves I'm not a sham.
It won't. It's only the laundry mark, my dear.
Express your grief. Propose.
I shan't. This tone I never allow, my love.
Rudolph at once produce.
I can't. He isn't at home just now, my love.
He isn't at home just now.
He isn't at home just now. He has a surprise.
God bless my heart and soul alive, it's impudent, personified. I've come here to be matrimonially matrimonified.
For any disappointment, I am sorry, unaffectedly. But yesterday that nobleman expired quite unexpectedly.
Fancy ball.
Well, it is a delicate combination of both effects. It is intended to express inconsolable grief at the decease of the late Duke and ebullient joy at the accession of his successor. I am his successor, and permit me to present to you my Grand Duchess.
Your Grand Duchess? Oh, Your Highness.
Old frump.
A recent creation, probably.
We were married only half an hour ago.
Exactly. I thought she seemed new to the position.
Mom, I don't know who you are, but I flatter myself I can do justice to any part on the very shortest notice.
My dear, under the circumstances, you are doing admirably, and you'll improve with practice.
Oh?
It's so difficult to be a lady when one isn't born to
it. Am I to stand this? Am I not to be allowed to pull her to pieces?
No. It isn't Greek. Be a violet, I beg.
And now, tell me all about this distressing circumstance. How did the Grand Duke die?
He perished nobly in a statutory duel.
In a statutory duel? But that's only a civil death. And the act expires tonight, and then he will come to life again.
Well, no. Anxious to inaugurate my reign by conferring some inestimable boon upon my people, I signalized this occasion by reviving the law for another 100 years.
For another 100 years? Then set the merry joy bells ringing. Let festive epithalamia resound through these ancient halls. Cut the satisfying sandwich. Broach the exhilarating marsala. And let us rejoice today, if we never rejoice again.
But I don't think I quite understand. We have already rejoiced a great deal.
Happy man! You little wreck of the extent of the good things you are in for. When you killed Rudolph, you adopted all his overwhelming responsibilities. Know then that I, Caroline von Krakenfeld, am the most overwhelming of them all.
But stop. I have just been married to somebody else.
Yes, ma'am, to somebody else, ma'am. Do you understand, ma'am? To somebody else.
Do keep this young woman quiet. She fidgets me.
Fidgets you.
Be a violet, a crushed, despairing violet.
Do you suppose I intend to give up a magnificent part without a strap?
My good girl, she has the law on her side. Let us both bear this calamity with resignation. If you must struggle, go away and struggle in the seclusion of your chamber.
Oh!
Now away to the wedding we go, so that Tom and the charioteers. No kind of reluctance we show to embark on our married careers. So Julia's emotion may flow in the form of impetuous tears. To our wedding we legally go, so summon, so summon the charioteers.
To the wedding we legally go, so summon the charioteers.
destruction and despair. My cherished dream, the ducal throne to share. The fame supreme has faded into
I can't wait any longer. At any risk, I must gratify my urgent desire to know what is going on. Why, what's that? Surely I see a wedding procession winding down the hill, dressed in my Troilus and Cressida costumes. That's Ludwig's doing. I see how it is. He found the time hang heavy on his hands and is amusing himself by getting married to Lisa. No, It can't be Talisa, for here she is.
I really cannot stand seeing my Ludwig married twice in one day to somebody else.
Lisa.
Oh.
Come here. Don't be a little fool. I want you.
Oh.
Why, what's the matter with the little donkey? One would think she saw a ghost. But he's not marrying Lisa. Whom is he marrying? Julia. I see it all. Oh, the scoundrel. He had to adopt all my responsibilities, and he's shabbily taken advantage of the situation to marry the girl I'm engaged to. But no, it can't be Julia, for here she is.
I've made up my mind. I won't stand it. I'll send in my notice at once.
Julia, oh, what a relief. Then you've not married Ludwig. You are still true to me. Don't run away. Listen to me. Are you all crazy?
What would you with me, Spectre? Oh, ain't his eyes sepulchral? And ain't his voice hollow? What are you doing out of your tomb at this time of day, apparition?
I do wish I could make you girls understand that I'm only technically dead, and that physically I'm as much alive as I ever was in my life.
Oh, but it's an awful thing to be haunted by a technical bogey.
You won't be haunted much longer. The law must be on its last legs, and in a few hours I shall come to life again, resume all my social and civil functions, and claim my darling as my blushing bride.
Oh, then you haven't heard.
My love, I've heard nothing. How could I?
There are no daily papers where I come from.
Oh. Why, Ludwig challenged Rudolf and won, and now he's Grand Duke, and he's revived the law for another century.
What? But you're not serious. You're only joking.
My good sir, I'm a light-hearted girl, but I don't chaff bogies.
Well, that's the meanest dodge I've ever heard of.
Shabby trick, I call it.
But you don't mean to say that you're going to cry off.
I really can't afford to wait until your time is up. You know I've always set my face against long engagements.
Then defy the law and marry me now. We will fly to your native country, and I'll play broken English in London as you play broken German here.
No. These legal technicalities cannot be defied. Situated as you are, you have no power to make me your wife. At best, you could only make me your widow.
Then be my widow. My little, dainty, winning, winsome widow.
Now, what would be the good of that? Why, you goose, I should marry again within the month.
If the light of love's lingering ember has faded in gloom, you cannot neglect or remember a voice from the tomb. That stern supernatural diction should act as a solemn restriction, although by a mere legal fiction, a voice from the tomb. A voice from the tomb.
I own that at utterance, choose me, it withers my bloom. With awful emotion it thrills me, that voice from the tomb. Oh, Spectre, won't anything lay you? The pain to gain I again say thee. In this case I cannot obey thee. The voice from the tomb. The voice from the tomb. The voice from the tomb. From the tomb. Perhaps you'll be calling when passing this way. Your pocket I'm scorning and all your love loaning. I bid you good morning, I bid you good day. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good day. Oh, suspector appalling, I bid you
my offer recalling, your words I obey. Your fate is appalling and full of dismay. To pay for this warning, I give you fair warning. I'll haunt you each morning, each night and each day. I'll haunt you morning, night and
day. When spring's appalling, I bid you good day. Perhaps
to pay this warning, I give you warning.
Your pocket of scorning and all your longing. I bid you good morning, I bid you good day.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
I'll haunt you.
I'll hold you each night. Yes, each day I'll be to say.
Who is this approaching upon our joy encroaching? Some rascal come a-poaching. Who's heard that wine we're broaching?
Thank you. the Prince of Monte Carlo, who is so very much in love, has heard that you're all sold for ceremonious tinklers. Therefore he lets you go by word of mouth or regular, that Prince of Monte Carlo, who is so very much in love. That Prince of Monte Carlo,
the Mediterranean water,
has come here to bestow on you
his beautiful daughter.
They paid off all they owe,
as every statesman ought.
That Prince of Monte Carlo,
that's
the beautiful daughter. The Prince of Monte Carlo, he lets you know he's here to bestow his beautiful daughter.
His Highness, we know not, nor the locality in which is situate his principality. But as he guesses by some odd fatality, this is the shop for cut and dried formality. Let him appear. He'll find that we're remarkable for cut and dried formality.
Now that he's gone, I have a plan. I'll tell you all the plot of it. He wants formality. He shall have a lot of it. And then when we're all behind the curtains and you hear them, conceal yourselves, and when I give the cue, spring out on him. You all know what to do.
Magnificent array, carols those armors gloomier in costumes which we've hired by the day from a very well-known costumier.
I am the very well-known costumier.
With a brilliant staff of three should make a show. It's the rule that never varies. So we've engaged from the theatre monaco, six supernumeraries.
We're supernumeraries at a salary event that we got off expense. Six supernumeraries, six supernumeraries.
Our grammar's laws, and their language is lamentable, and they never take off their gloves because their nails are not presentable.
Our nails are not presentable.
To account for these shortcomings manifest, we explain in brief verbatim their worthy masters of the brewing interest, to the spirit and in data.
To the spirit and in data. We are very, very rich, and the cord in the assage to the spirit and in data.
Elevated.
dear. Here we are at last, just in time to compel Duke Rudolph to fulfill the terms of his marriage contract. Another hour and we should have been too late.
Yes, Papa. And if you hadn't fortunately discovered a means of making an income by honest industry, we should never have got here at all.
Very true. Confined for the last 2 years within the precincts of my palace by an obdurate bootmaker who held a warrant for my arrest, I devoted my enforced leisure to a study of the doctrine of chances, mainly with the view of ascertaining whether there was the remotest chance of my ever going out for a walk again. And this led to the discovery of a singularly fascinating little round game, which I have called roulette, and by which, in one sitting, I won no less than 5,000 francs. My first act was to pay my bootmaker. My second, to engage a good, useful working set of second-hand nobles. And my third, to hurry you off to Pfennig Half Pfennig as fast as a train de luxe could carry us.
Yes, and a pretty job lot of second-hand nobles you scraped together.
Pretty, you think? I don't know. I should say tolol, my love. Only tolol. They're not wholly satisfactory. There's a certain air of unreality about them. They are not convincing.
But, my good friend, what can you expect for 18 pence a day?
Now, take this peer, for instance. What the deuce do you call him?
Him? Oh, he's a swell. He's the Duke of Riviera.
Oh, he's a duke, is he? Well, that's no reason why he should look so confoundedly haughty. Be affable, sir. That's better. Now, who's this with his moustache coming off?
Why, you're Viscount Mentone, ain't you?
Best if I know. It's round here on my sword belt. Yeah. Viscount Mentone.
Then why don't you say so? Hold yourself up. You ain't carrying sandwich boards now.
Now, once and for all, you peers, when His Highness arrives, don't stand like sticks, but appear to take an intelligent and sympathetic interest in what's going on. You needn't say anything, but let your gestures be in accordance with the spirit of the conversation. Now, take the word from me. Affability. Submission.
Huh?
Surprise. Come on, surprise.
Oh.
Shame.
Huh?
Grief. Joy. Come on now, all together.
Ah!
That's better. You can do it if you like.
But, Papa, where in the world is the court? There is positively no one here to receive us. I can't help feeling that Rudolph wants to get out of it because I'm poor. He's a miserly little wretch, that's what he is.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I would rather describe him as an enthusiastic collector of coins of the realm. And we must not be too hard upon a numismatist if he feels a certain disinclination to part with some of his really very valuable specimens. It's a pretty hobby. I've often thought I should like to collect some coins myself.
Papa, I'm sure there's someone behind that curtain. I saw it move.
Then no doubt they're coming. Now, mind you, peers, haughty affability combined with a sense of what is due to your exalted ranks, or I'll fine you half a franc each. Upon my soul, I will.
Thank you.
There. Now, what do you think of that? That is our official ceremonial for the reception of visitors of the very highest distinction.
Well, it's very quaint. Very curious indeed. Prettily put it, too. Prettily put it.
Would you like to see how we say goodbye to visitors of distinction? That ceremony is also performed with the foot.
Really, this tone. Perhaps you have not completely grasped the situation.
Not altogether.
Then I'll give you a lead over. I am the father of the Princess of Monte Carlo. Doesn't that convey any idea to the Grand Ducal mind?
Nothing definite.
Very odd. Never mind, try again. This is the daughter of the Prince of Monte Carlo. Do you take?
No, not yet. Go on, don't give up. I dare say it'll come presently.
Very odd. Well, never mind, try again. 20 years ago, little Doddle Doddle. Two little Doddle Doddles. Happy father, hers and yours. Proud mother, yours and hers. Ah, now you take. I see you do.
Nothing is more annoying than to feel that you're not equal to the intellectual pressure of the conversation. I wish you'd say something intelligible.
You didn't expect me?
No, I grasped that. Thank you very much indeed. No, I did not expect you.
Oh, I thought not. At last I have escaped from my enforced restraint.
No,
you misunderstand me. I mean I've paid my debts.
Take my advice, when deep in debt, set up a bank and play roulette. At once distrust you surely lull, and rook the pigeon and the gull. The bird will stake his every franc in wild attempt to break the bank. But you may stake your life and limb, the bank will end by breaking him. Allons encore, un gaston fiette, au louis d'or, vos jarrettes. Hola, 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 hola. Mes fêtes rouges. Allons la classe, le temps se passe, la banque se casse. Rien ne va plus. Le 17-moi, un père est manque. Hola, hola, vive la banque. For every time the board you spin, the bank is bound to win.
For every time the board you spin, the bank is bound to win.
A cosmic game is this roulette. The little ball's a true coquette. A maiden coy whom numbers woo, whom 36 suitors sue. Of all complexions too good lack, for some are red and some are black. And some must be extremely green, for half of them are not 19. Allons encore, garçon fillette, vos louis d'or, vos rucharettes. Hola, 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 hola. Mes fêtes rouges. Allons la foule, ça roule, ça roule. Le temps s'écoule, rien ne va plus. Le 35 rouge, un père et passe. Très bien, étudiant de la classe. The more it's safe when you begin, the bank is bound to win.
The more it's safe when you begin, the bank is bound to
little balls are flirt inbred. She flirts with black, she flirts with red. From this to that she hops above, then back to this as if in doubt. To call her thoughtless were unkind, the child is making up her mind. For all the world, like all the rest, which prétendant will pay the best. Allons encore, garçon fillette, vos louis d'or, vos charrettes. Hola, 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 hola. Mes fêtes rouges, hyper Sophie, au penche à vie, gagne aujourd'hui. Rien ne va plus. Tra-la-la-la, le double zéro. Vous perdez tous mes nobles héros. Where at last the ball pops in, the bank is bound to win.
Where at last the ball pops in, the bank is bound to win.
But, my darling, I'm afraid that even now you don't quite realize who I am.
Why, you forward little hussy, how dare you? Oh.
You mustn't do that, my dear. Never in the presence of the Grand Duchess, I beg.
Oh, Papa, he's got the Grand Duchess.
Hey, Grand Duchess. My good girl, I've got 3 Grand Duchesses.
Well, I'm sure. Papa, let's go away. This is not a respectable call.
All these Grand Dukes have their little fancies, my love. This potentate appears to be collecting wives. It's a pretty hobby. I should like to collect a few myself. Have you such a thing as a catalogue of the museum?
But I cannot permit Rudolph to keep a museum.
Rudolph? Get along with you. I'm not Rudolph. Rudolph died yesterday.
What's
that?
Quite suddenly, of a cardiac affection.
Of a cardiac affection?
Yes, a pack of cardiac affection. He fought a statutory duel with me and lost, and I took over all his engagements, including this imperfectly preserved old lady to whom he has been engaged for the last 3 weeks.
3 weeks? But I've been engaged to him for the last 20 years.
20 years?
It's all right, my love. They can't get over that. He's yours. Take him and hold him as tight as you can.
My own.
Oh, here's another, the fourth in 24 hours. Would anybody else like to marry me? You, ma'am, or you, anybody? I'm getting used to it.
But let me tell you, ma'am.
Why, you impudent little hussy.
Oh, here's another. Here's another.
Poor ladies, I am very sorry for you all. But you see, I have prior claim. Come, away we go. There's not a moment to be lost.
This may not be frustrated, are your plans with paramount degree? The law forbids the fence, the law forbids the fence.
Forbids the bans? Not a bit of it. I've revived the law for another century.
You didn't revive it. You couldn't revive it.
Well, you're a pretty kind of fellow. Thus my life to shatter, oh. My little store of gold and silver, recklessly you scatter, oh. You guzzle and you gormandize all day with cup and platter, oh. And eat my food and drink my wine, especially the latter, oh. But when compared with other crimes for which your head I'll batter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. My dainty bride, my bridey, let you wheedle and you flatter, oh. With coarse and clumsy compliment, her senses you bespatter, oh. You fascinate her tough, oh, tart with vain and vulgar patter, oh. Although the deuce confound you, you're unworthy to look at her, oh. But even this compared with deeds that drive me mad as fatter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. For oh, you vulgar vagabond, you found of idle chatter, oh. You've done a deed on which I vow you won't get any fatter, oh. You fancy you've revived the law, me empty brag and chatter, oh. You can't, you shan't, you don't, you won't, you sing a rag and chatter, oh. For this you'll suffer agonies like rat in clutch of ratter, oh. This flippity-dippity kind of a liberty's quite another matter, oh.
Yeah, you. You're an imposter, sir. A company rogue, sir. You never were, and in all human probability never will be Grand Duke of Fenwick anything.
What?
Never, never, never. Oh, my internal economy.
That is absurd, you know. I fought the Grand Duke. He drew a king and I drew an ace. He perished in inconceivable agonies on the spot. Now, as that is settled, we will go on with the wedding.
It isn't settled. You can't. I oh, Dr. Tannhäuser, tell him I can't.
Well, the fact is, there's been a little mistake here. On reference to the act that regulates statutory duels, I find it is expressly laid down that ace shall count invariably as lowest.
As lowest. So you're the goest.
What is the matter with me inside you?
And am I to understand that I was on the point of marrying a dead man without knowing it? Oh, my love, what a narrow escape I've had.
Oh, you are the Princess of Monte Carlo, and you've turned up just in time. Well, you're an attractive little girl, you know, but you're as poor as a rat.
Well, Julia, as it seems that the law hasn't been revived, and as consequently, I shall come to life in about 3 minutes.
My objection falls to the ground. Very well.
That's all very well, but what is to become of me, Ludwig, if you're a dead man? Oh.
But I'm not. Time's up. The act has expired. I've come to life. The parson is still in attendance, and we'll all be married directly.
In that complete performance of The Grand Duke by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, Rudolph was played by Peter Pratt. Ernest Dummkopf was sung by Kenneth Bowen and spoken by Dinsdale Landon. Ludwig was sung by John Heddle Nash and spoken by John Sharp. Dr. Tannhäuser was sung by Leslie Fison and spoken by Michael Spice. The Prince of Monte Carlo was sung by Neil Howlett and spoken by Wilfred Carter. Ben Hashbaz was sung by Don Paulin and spoken by Timothy Harley. The Herald was sung by John Noble. The Princess of Monte Carlo was sung by Ursula Connors and spoken by Jane Wenham. The Baroness von Krakenfeld was sung by Jean Allister and spoken by Margaret Gordon. Julia Jellicoe was played by Laura Sarti. Lisa was sung by Elizabeth Robinson and spoken by Diana Olson. Other members of Ernest Dummkopf's theatrical company was sung by Valerie Heath Davis, Christine Parker, Gloria Jennings, and Shirley Minty, and spoken by Eva Haddon and Jane Wenham. The Chamberlains, Nobles, actors, and actresses were the John McCarthy Singers. You also heard the BBC Concert Orchestra, leader Arthur Levins. The performance was conducted by Stanford Robinson and produced by Michael Moores.
Jean Allister and Laura Sarti, broadcast by permission of the Glyndebourne Festival Opera.